So friends, this morning we are preparing to share an ancient story that we tell every year at this time. And it's the story of a long journey of a young couple, of angels and wise men and shepherds and innkeepers and animals. It's a timeless story from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. And every year we and millions of others tell it once again in our own way, making it true and making it our own. It takes place in a time so very different from ours, and yet not so very different. It's an incredibly special and miraculous story, and it's also an incredibly ordinary story. So today we invite you to think about all of the ways that we find the sacred, the special, the miraculous in this ordinary story. This story has so many of those sacred and ordinary moments. And as Unitarian Universalists, we are asked not only to find meaning and holiness in the sacredness of texts, but also in our own lives, in the texts of our own experiences. And so in telling this story again each year, we draw a connection between the sacred stories of old and the sacred stories of our own lives. We live out this ancient, miraculous, and ordinary story each and every day. And we do it again today as we tell this old story. So I invite you into this story and into the miraculousness and the ordinariness of it as we live it out together.
Okay, we ready for our story, friends? Long ago in a galaxy far, far away. That's right, exactly. Actually, I just told a few of you, I have a giant inflated Darth Vader in my front yard with a sign that says Merry Christmas on him. So long ago in a galaxy far, far away, there lived a young couple who did not have many choices. They were Jewish people living under occupation of a foreign power. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And the first person we're going to introduce, her name was what? Who's feeling especially Mary-ish this morning? Otherwise, I'm going to choose you, just so you know. Oh, Carol, I know. Come with me. And who's looking especially angelic? Oh, that's Joseph. Never mind. That's Mary. John, you look very angelic. Come with me. As Mary gets dressed, remember, we're in a galaxy far, far away where it takes a long time to get robed up. And there's the angel. Of course, Heather, that's the angel. You know that. Every time you see John, you're like, he is so angelic. All right, where were we? You look great, John. A woman's name was Mary, and though she was planning to marry Joseph, a carpenter, she was not planning to have a baby. Were you? No. One day, an angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one." He said it actually much louder. "The Lord is with you." And Mary was confused and worried about what this could mean. And the angel said, "Mary, chill out. Don't be afraid." All right. "You will conceive and bear a son, and you will give him the name Jesus." Now, Mary did not understand how this could be happening to her. She was amazed, and she was also very scared. Don, is that Carol's scared face? But she chose to accept it and to make room for the possibility that something miraculous and unusual is happening. And soon, like all of a sudden, she was pregnant. It kind of looked like she had a bad bowl of chili, but soon she was pregnant. Now, Mary's fiance, his name was what? Okay. Gary, you look like Joseph. Come on up. Don't get jealous, Don. It's okay. Now, as you said, there he is. Let me help you out here a little bit. There you go. Voila. Joseph was a bricklayer. He had big arms, big muscles, working out all day. Now, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he did not know what to do. And he also did not know how the heck this happened. He did not take owl, that's right. For those, that's our whole live sexuality class. You didn't, yeah. So what you sometimes do when you get bad news is you know, you fall asleep, you take a nap. So that's what Joseph did, and he was sleeping, and he was dreaming, and an angel, the same angel, we'll call him Angel John, came to him. And the angel said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do you believe him, Joseph? For your wife has conceived a son from the Holy Spirit. And then the angel departed off to the left side of the sanctuary. And when Joseph woke up, he wasn't sure whether he could trust his dream or if he had had like a bad meal the night before and it gave him nightmares. But he did choose to believe that the miraculous was happening. And so, sort of backwards, but Mary and Joseph were married. It was a small, very ordinary wedding. They had a minister who had an evergreen on his shirt. It's all they could find. And they planned to live quietly in Nazareth, which is kind of like the equivalent to Natick. And he planned to raise his baby there. But several months later, before Mary gave birth to the child, the occupying Roman general, Caesar, ordered every person to go to their hometown to get registered. It's kind of like they were the immigrants, my friends. It's exactly how it was. Caesar's order came at a terrible time for Mary and Joseph. Mary was pregnant and due to bear a child soon. Even normal activities were very hard for her, and she couldn't imagine taking a long journey on the back of a donkey. Who should I choose? What do you think, donkey? Can you carry Carol? Or sorry, Mary? We'll see. Joseph was just starting out as a carpenter, and he would have to leave his job, and he did not know if the rival would take his place by the time he returned. But the political pressure of not leaving was too dangerous, so they knew they had to leave their home and migrate across the desert. Again, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? Would they be safe? How would they leave? What would you do if you were expecting a baby and you had to go across all these dangerous places to find safety? If they made it to Bethlehem, which is like the equivalent of from Natick to, I don't know, Springfield, maybe, far away. And if they weren't robbed or sickened or worn out completely by the journey, they would end up in a town where they knew nobody at a time when the child was due to be born. They did not want to leave Nazareth, but as a poor, very ordinary couple, they felt they had no choice. And so they set out for Bethlehem. They set out for Bethlehem. The donkey usually leads the way, yep. They plotted. Then they took like a U-turn. And then they stopped. And by the time they reached the outskirts of Bethlehem, other travelers on the road, which are all of you, saw, maybe actually they plotted a little bit down the aisle. They plotted down the aisle. Okay, so all the other travelers saw to their astonishment a woman who was 9 months pregnant. So, okay, stop plotting for a sec. And the people right around them saw with their astonishment a woman who was 9 months pregnant. They were covered in sweat and dust from the road. They were exhausted. They're riding a little child donkey. Oh, my God. Some looked at Joseph and Mary with wonder, but some with pity, and even some with contempt, and some with compassion. So you can choose which version you'd like to choose, depending on the kind of week you've had, okay? Contempt, compassion, pity, love even. Or you can just look blank. That's fine. And my friends, let us just pause there for a second. Let me ask you, where are you, if you were to imagine this is the road, this is the aisle of your life, where are you on this particular road? Are you Mary and Joseph with no choice but to comply with the powers that be? Are you another traveler on the road who sees Mary and Joseph and the donkey as you go about your own day? And when you see on the news, on CNN, or even in your own life, a dirty and worn out person forced to travel far from home, how do you see them? How do you see them?
Mary and Joseph continued on the road for many days. And finally, as they were nearing the town of Bethlehem, the town where Joseph was born, night was just beginning to fall. And they were tired from this long journey, and they walked up to an inn. Mary knew that the baby would be coming soon. And they hoped to find a place to rest before that happened. So Mary and Joseph knocked on the door to an inn. And a young woman answered, and they asked if there was space to stay for the evening. There's no one acting that role, but you can pretend it's me.
Is there any space to get into that?
She shook her head no, closed the door. Joseph and Mary continued on down the street, maybe coming back around this way when they're done. And then they stopped, no, this way, just come back. When they stopped at the second inn and they heard like a big party, loud music, lots of merriment, and they knocked, and they knocked, and they knocked, and nobody could hear them inside because it was so ruckus inside. And then finally a man came to the door, and they asked again, is there any space for us? And the man said, no, we've been booked since last week. Can't you see the sign? And Joseph and Mary, they were human after all, and they were close to tears at this point. They had been traveling for days, they were tired, and they sat down to rest for a moment before trying to figure out what to do. And now we need another actor, if somebody would like to play the innkeeper. This one has lines. No one's gonna, I'm gonna have to, oh, there we go, okay, great. And this is the innkeeper costume, yes? Okay. It's a very modern innkeeper. So Mary and Joseph got back up and they knocked on the door to this inn with this innkeeper here. And he opened the door, the innkeeper opened the door, and he said to Mary and Joseph that there was no more room at the inn.
There's no room at the inn.
But just as he spoke, he saw Mary's condition. Not only was she... Not only was she pregnant, but she seemed to be in labor. The innkeeper had little to offer. He was busy helping all the other guests. But he thought long and hard and tried to imagine if there was anything that he could do for them. And he offered what he could. He said to them kindly, "My barn is warm. There's no running water or heat, but neither does my inn have this. There's only a little room in the barn, but it will be better than sleeping out here."
There's only a little room in the barn, but it will be better than sleeping out here.
So here, let me show you. So Mary and Joseph graciously accepted the offer, and the innkeeper showed them their way. So the animals in the barn, which are going to be all of you, looked and saw them coming through the door. What a strange smelling donkey and even stranger smelling humans.
Moo. Moo.
There was so little room, the animals had to choose what to do. They could squawk and bray and moo and baa and raise such a ruckus that the strangers had to leave. Want to show me that, what that'd be like? Okay, that's enough. Or the animals could move aside. They could make room where there was very little room to begin with, so that all of them might rest in the warmth and shelter of the barn. Soon enough, one animal chose to move to her accustomed place, from her accustomed place, so that the strange woman would have a place to be. And then another animal followed suit, and another. Soon they discovered to their surprise that there was room enough for all of them, barn residents and travelers alike. Have you ever had to respond this way to a stranger, to move over and to make room for someone else's presence or needs? It's not such a miraculous thing. In fact, we are asked to do this all the time. When we welcome new members in our family, when we approach someone else with grace, when we accommodate more people in our worship space here together. We wonder together how to move over and make room for refugees, for Muslims, how to respond with faith and not fear. It's an ordinary everyday task, and yet when it happens, it is also miraculous. So after the animals moved over to make room, another miraculous, ordinary thing happened. Mary gave birth to a baby named Jesus. She wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in the very simple, plain manger because they didn't have anything special. But it became so special because Jesus had just been born and his parents loved him. And soon after that, more ordinary things happened.
So on that same night, a little distance away, a good distance away in fact, wise people were looking up at the stars. Can I have some wise people? Nobody here is wise. Yeah, one, two. No, I just need two. Well, I only have two costumes, actually. There were many wise people. Oh, yeah, okay, great. Connor, come on up. We've got a wise costume already. Pay attention for Christmas Eve. These are how the costumes go on. So we had some wise people, and they were far away from where the manger was. And they were looking up at the stars, which they did most nights, because that's what wise people did in those days. But on this night, they noticed something very out of the ordinary. They saw a star that they had never seen before rising in the east. And it was especially bright, and they decided, because they were wise people after all, that it must mean that something miraculous had happened. So they decided to follow the star and see where it led. Go ahead and follow it. They brought things that they thought were very special. They brought gold. Yes, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Because it was so rare and precious, And when they visited the child, they wanted him to appreciate rare things of beauty throughout his life. And on that same night, shepherds were putting their flock of sheep to bed for the evening. Can we have some shepherds? We've got one shepherd. Yeah, come on up. Already has a staff. Another shepherd? Yeah, come on, Nora. So you all can be the sheep. Perfect. So the shepherds were putting their flock to bed for the evening. And at that time, shepherds were considered a not very prestigious job. They were ordinary workers trying to get by and make a living. And in the middle of the fields that they had walked through 1,000 times, something miraculous and extraordinary happened. The angel appeared in the sky to tell them the good news of a great joy. And he said, "I have good news of great joy. A baby has been born in Bethlehem. And he will grow up to be a very special man and teacher. Some people even say that he will be the savior of all people." So the shepherds had never seen anything before like this, and they were a little scared. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid." And the shepherds decided that they would go see this baby for themselves, because it was so out of the ordinary. And they also brought gifts for the child, each bringing something that was special to them personally, like their staff or something else like that. Because they did not have much money, a green, yes, and also wanted to remind the child to find beauty in the ordinary things, that it didn't need to be expensive and shiny to be special and holy in this world. And so the shepherds and wise people all traveled toward this place where Jesus, Joseph, and Mary were staying. And when they walked in, they saw an entirely ordinary baby, a baby who cried and fussed, and pooped, and ate, with new parents who were tired and loving and a little irritated, and being very gracious to all the visitors. Being very gracious to all the visitors in their tiny barn. And many more visitors came, bringing ordinary things like frozen casseroles and toys and books. And miraculous special things like gold and frankincense and myrrh and beloved stuffed animals and trinkets and boxes containing memories and love and connection. And so this is the ordinary story of a family who had to make hard choices, a story about the ordinary birth of a baby, an ordinary story about people who came to visit after the baby was born. And yet it's also a miraculous story, because each night that a child is born is a holy night. It's a miraculous story when we make room for one another in the stable and in our hearts. And it's a miraculous story when our lives touch one another in profound and holy ways. And it's a miraculous story when we give generously, and most of all, because each and every night that a child is born is a holy, miraculous night. And so may we too remember to look for the miraculous in the ordinary each and every day. Amen.
So this is our story. This miraculously ordinary story of a baby being born. As ordinary and miraculous as the hundreds of thousands of babies born every day around the world. A baby born into a family of homeless refugees, who had little but the clothing on their backs to keep their baby warm. As they were together in an ordinary manger, the baby's parents saw the miraculous gift of their child. And as gifts were brought for the child, the miraculous gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, the child lay in his ordinary box, surrounded by ordinary people. We have asked you to think about the ordinary objects that are miraculous to you. Perhaps They represent ordinary moments turned miraculous by human connection to an ancestor, by a deeper understanding of your truth, by the unexpected compassion of a stranger, or by an important personal transformation. We have asked you to bring these objects with you today, these objects that hold a miraculous meaning for you, and to help us create a sacred altar of the miraculously ordinary, just as the birth of Jesus was miraculously ordinary.
May these objects remind us of everyday miracles in life, the ones that we share with other people, the ones we share with no one but ourselves. May they remind us of the hope that we all seek in the darkness, the work for peace that we continue to do individually and as a congregation, the joy in our hearts that we have to share, and the love we have to give to the world. Like the miraculous birth of this little baby, we find the miraculous in the ordinary, you and I. So let us notice the holy moments that happen each and every day.
Friends, we are asked to find the miraculous in the ordinary each and every day.
In the rising of a star.
In the birth of a baby.
In the generosity of strangers.
In voices still and small.
In the hospitality offered.
In the hospitality accepted.
In the singing of our beautiful choir.
In the dim candlelight.
In the blessing of silence.
And in the gifts of these pews in this congregation, because you guys are the best.
This holiday season, may we find the miraculous in the ordinary and the ordinary in the miraculous. Go in peace, go with love, and amen.